Blog Talk Radio.
Freaks! Freaks, what a great, great, great topic for tonight. We got a room full of them. And I'm only one of your freaks, Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Another freak, Dave Binkley from the Weirdest Really Bad Movie. We gotta get a bigger green room, Dale, I'm telling you.
And the king. The king.
And the king. Stop that. And also,
it is I, the only horror host that can stop a bear in his tracks with a clever quip or a punny pun. Guy the ghoul, blah, blah.
And we have a very, very, very special guest for you today, folks. Octavian Hollow from Haven Falls Horror Fix. And to celebrate the premiere showing, at least on our channel, Eerie House TV, his treatment of the movie Freaks, Octavian Hollow's producer, I would like to introduce to you Frank. Hiya, Frank.
Great to be with everybody tonight. What would you do if that was the case? That would be for a very long show.
If that was really
show,
your voice,
it?
I would just roll with it.
Imagine you got somebody that studied so bad.
We did but Jerry Lewis last week, there, buddy.
Oh yeah. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I was there. I mean, I listened. breaks my heart that we lost him, but hey, he left us with so much.
That so was almost a marriage between Jerry Lewis and Porky Pig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, in Freaks, there's actually a character with a severe stutter. The one that's married to one of the Siamese twins.
Yes.
Wait, I thought it was a silent movie.
No.
Oh,
no. Freaks is a talkie from 1932. It was directed by Todd Browning, the genius director of the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi. More about that later. I'm intrigued with the character Octavian Hollow. Once I discovered that you're out there on the internet and doing your own show, I had to have you here, and I'm so glad that you're here, Frank. And hopefully, maybe a little later on, we can see if we can drag Octavian in here to visit with us as well. Tell us a little bit first about. Maybe the origin of your show, how you know, what made you decide to do this crazy thing, and where it was first seen.
Well, it's actually the two year outing of it. I don't know, the premiere of it was on the local cable channel here in Attleboro, Mass. It'll be 2 years in October, and you know, typical thing, just once a month or every 2 months or so. The origin of it, I work weird hours, but I'm also I need an outlet, you know, whether it's theater or ghost hunting or a music group or something. But when you work odd hours, it's really hard to do those things. And I just needed an outlet. And finally, through a whole lifetime of just dabbling into things, I finally feel like, oh, I finally can funnel everything through this one thing. And right center stage through the whole thing is a character that's been a haunt of mine personally for like most of my whole life. You know, he came to me in a nightmare in my late teens, and I kind of, instead of being like, oh God, it was kind of like, cool. And we just kind of hung together ever since.
What was your job when you, while before you did this?
Well, currently doing the same thing. I'm a blood dealer, which is a cool way of saying
blood dealer.
Yeah, for a very well-known blood bank. But I don't think I should say the name because
really?
They might not appreciate the connection with them.
blood dealer. I thought you said blood dealer. Flood dealer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Good for you. You people make a difference, and my highest applause for you.
Oh, thank you, man.
You know, just this week, King started selling flood insurance down in Miami.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotta jump on the market, man. Hey, I'm sure now, because everybody else. You know, our prayers.
Now Frank, obviously
people.
Your show is like a horror hosted show. Can you share with us maybe some of your influences? Were there people that you grew up with on television that maybe kind of steered you in this direction?
Well, in the Boston area, we had like a lot of stations used to have back before they went all the network when they're all independently run. But we had our own creature double feature, and I used to look forward to that like every Saturday when I was a kid. And you know, they were like two features, 90 minutes each, which I run the same format. I think 90 minutes is good, because 2 hours is kind of a bit much to hang.
When did you start your show? May I ask when you started your show? Or I'm sorry, when did you start your show, and when did you first start, watching that the type of movies that you present in your show?
We all did. I mean, in my family, I mean, we all used to watch, two creature features, like I mentioned, and other things. But, like you guys all know the same thing, that stuff becomes implanted onto your psyche and your personality and just, like, happy luggage that you take through your life. And when you get an opportunity to actually do something with some of these films because of the public domain, it's kind of like, wow, I can, really put my little touch and share these things with, hopefully a newer generation, a younger generation. I mean,
wonderful. That's a wonderful sentiment. I think we all share that, Dave, Gar, myself, other horror hosts out there want to influence the next generation while entertaining, doing our little thing. I have a small personal emergency. I'm going to let my co-hosts keep you entertained and ask you some questions. I'll be back in about 2 minutes. So, guys, carry on. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Okay,
well,
we're counting.
I was going to ask, this double-featuring movie, was this a hosted movie, or they just put two movies back-to-back?
Oh, well, that was movies back-to-back. I mean, they had the guy that introduced it in the beginning, and they played this music from Emerson, Lake and Palmer song. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like super trippy instrumental thing. But it was actually on another Boston channel at night, and I pray that people will know who this is. But Simon Sanctorum. That rings a bell with anybody?
Well, that's the great thing about the local hosts, having the opportunity like this. I had not heard of them, but having the opportunity like this to share who your local host was, that's really what was lacking. Everybody thought they had their host, and nobody else, they didn't know of anybody else that had one, so they thought they had the only one. But yet, here they were all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
What makes you decide to pick? How many shows have you done here? Out of curiosity.
Well, I have seven that are complete, and one that's near complete, and then one. Once you see, how I handle these films, I have a ninth episode, which is going to kind of be a recap, kind of like bits and pieces of all these little bits, almost like how they do those, television shows where they show just parts of certain.
Would you? Right. I'm sorry, I had a very, very sick cat here, so I apologize. I had to step away. Would you say that this show will be kind of like a best of show?
On the ninth episode, yeah. Just kind of recap.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it's something, someone that happens to be the first and only episode they see in the beginning, they might say, I might want to see that episode. Or if not, I might want to go see that, go look and dig up that movie and watch the original.
Is there a rhyme or reason why you might pick a particular movie to show or work with, or you just go ahead and, we'll pick this and that's that?
Well, no. There's certain things when I watch movies or things I'll remember from watching movies that my mind's always – I'm like a kid with a Sharpie in a museum of portraits or a magazine store. I'm that guy that can't help but, put a mustache or make some kind of comment, not rude, but – just try to be creative and just try to take something and make it something else just with a few brushes of the stroke. And it's kind of the same application I put to these movies. There's certain things that stand out.
Are you an artist?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? What kind of
yeah.
Let me ask you two questions. What kind of art do you do, and what artists do you follow or admire?
I think my favorite is Marguerite. I mean, I'm not a practicing, like, I don't have paintings. Just about anything I've ever created, no matter what it is, I've pretty much given away. So I don't really have a portfolio because I don't, that's not my, it's just something I create. Somebody likes it. Yeah, great, take it. But it's mostly drawings, caricature stuff, all kind of things. And then, of course, that flows into, you know, working with sounds, in an artistic form, like it, with music, and the same happens with these movies. Like, what can you do with a pre-existing thing that everybody already knows and loves, and kind of rework it and repackage it to where they can see it again for the first time?
So where did you get your makeup skills? This character Octavian intrigues me. He's kind of like a clown, but kind of not a clown. He's clearly a horror character, and I just like him because he's so unique.
Well, it's kind of like with the voice. It was it's kind of inspired by bits and pieces from other things, not consciously, but just kind of merged there. With Octavian, yeah, you're right. You kind of get the feel of a vampire. You also get like a ghost or a demon, and then you get the witch thing, and you got the scarecrow, if I didn't already mention that. It's just like an emergence of different type of horror people merged into one. I mean, he's really a witch that's dead, and he's back from the dead, and long story.
So your original horror movie host of that you grew up with was from Simon's Sanctorum on Chiller Chillers?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, and I wish I could remember details. I mean,
Chilling Shockers, that was it.
No, Chilling Shockers did the... It was great because they did a special which was also a good thing that kind of inspired me to say, hey, I can do this with all this stuff, and hey, cool. And yeah, Penny Dreadful, Chilling Shockers, they're fantastic. They really are.
And Penny's up in your area. She's an amazing horror hostess.
All the stuff.
Simon's look changed over time, didn't it?
I'm not
a little bit.
Like I said, it was when I was a kid, and it just imprints. It's just something that imprinted on me. And watching that Chilling Shockers episode that they did, which was like, talking about all different horror hosts and time and history. A fantastic episode if you get a chance to.
I've seen this, and I love horror movie hosts myself.
Yeah.
So, getting into the roots of where it kind of inspired you, like your horror movie host, that's just as important as what we create in becoming our own horror host.
Yeah, especially when it's, like I said, it's something that's imprinted on you, and it's not always obvious. It's kind of like, ooh, and then it's like, it's like a repressed dream or memory that kind of surfaces.
Right.
I was going to ask, I know a lot of us are interested in comic books. Are there any comic books that inspired you or that you followed or anything like that?
Oh, when I was a kid, they used to call me Spider-Man, and comic books weren't as cool, yes. And I used to take a rap.
Marvel guy after my own heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah.
I grew to love DC, and I like what they're doing and stuff, but I was definitely a Marvel guy.
Am I the only one that read Richie Rich? Come on.
I read Richie Rich. I read about the Red Devil and Casper and all that.
I was weaned on what was his name? Hot Stuff, the little devil.
Hot Stuff, that's the guy.
Red
Devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before I found the superheroes, it was Hot Stuff.
Yep.
Can I ask? Can I ask Octavian which particular Marvel comics that you said Spider-Man? Were there any others that you?
There's some offball ones. There was do you remember, and it's appropriate, was it Damon, son of Satan?
Yes.
He was like the son of
Satan. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he was part of the Avengers.
Trident. Yeah.
The Defenders.
Oh, yeah.
He was part of the Defenders,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you mean Avengers? Do you mean
what
Avengers?
What about Howard the Duck? Were you into that?
No.
Am I the only Howard the Duck guy here?
Guys. No one was.
Did you say Avengers
no one was.
Or Defenders?
I liked Howard the Duck, but...
Yeah, Tamer.
I'm sorry. Did you say Avengers or Defenders?
Defenders. I first
Defenders.
Said Avengers, and then I was like, and then I corrected myself. Defenders. He was one of the Defenders.
Well, those are later on, aren't they?
No, those are in the 70s, man.
Oh. Okay. Who was in the Defenders? Anybody? Any of the other?
There was a Valkyrie. There was a demon. Doctor Strange was in there. Damien was in there.
Thinking the Invaders.
Yes, right.
Doctor Strange, the Hulk, Daredevil.
Okay.
Luke Cage, Iron Fist, like in the show.
Frank,
A couple of ones that I grew up with. I mean, I have a lot of Doctor Strange, and a lot of the Hulk. The early ones, yeah, not the later ones, but because at that time, because I'm an old person. You read comic books for a while, and then you discover girls. And then the comic books kind of go away, if you know what I mean.
Then they come back.
Yeah.
Then they come back.
King's first pet rocks was lava. Okay, he's old.
Yeah, he's a senior member here. We're all kind of in our 50s here, but he's crossed the veil into some other decade.
Well, I'm 15.
I'm 65, okay?
1,000 years old.
Yeah. I'm 65, and I started collecting comic books, and I have a collection of Marvel comic books. It's about 500 of them. And I just, I still read them.
I love the old way they did it, the old style. I mean,
yeah.
Computers and stuff is great now, but there's something about the print,
the print, the smell.
Get me going.
All that.
Yeah.
So, Octavian, what are your thoughts on Caravaggio?
Oh, what's that?
What are your thoughts on Caravaggio? It's an art guy.
It's a good Italian food. There's a nice dressing that goes with that. It's very nice.
It is. And rolls. Don't forget those rolls. But, yeah, okay.
Gotta have the little Caravaggio. All right. Frank, you chose the movie Freaks to host. I have not done that one yet. I've been kind of saving that for a special occasion someday in the future. Tell us a little bit about how you discovered Freaks and your thoughts about the movie.
That's the American Horror Story, Freak Show. I mean, it was Jessica Lange's character's favorite movie, showed it towards the end of the season, and it just made me want to investigate it more. And I knew of it.
Now, did you discover the movie after seeing American Horror Show, or were you always aware of Freaks?
I was aware of it. It was just one of those things I had seen as a kid, and I remember certain things like Gooba Gaba and One of Us and things like that stick in your head. But that made me want to revisit it, and I'm so glad I did, because watching it, that's when the gears started clicking, and it'd be like, oh, it'd be funny if they said this. Oh, it'd be funny if she said that, and it'd be funny if this happened. And lo and behold, today with modern technology and a little bit of ectoplasmic essence, you get Hayden Falls Horror Picks.
Did the movie Freaks give you any interest at all, or maybe you already had it and it just kind of fostered that interest in, like, circus folk and human oddities and things like that?
Oh yeah. Actually, I had that back when I was a teenager. The end of the summer, around this time of year, right around Labor Day weekend, we'd have the county fair, and they would have their own you know, mini freaks that, you know, would show up. I remember one was like this guy that was supposed to not, he shouldn't be alive because he was such a drug user. Billy Reed is still alive. And it was insane. And this poor guy would like traffic a rubber band through his nose and from one nostril and through the other just for a cigarette. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Great way to make a living. And wow. Kind of makes you think.
Mr. Mummy's listening in the listening live, and he made a comment here to me in a little ping that the main announcer for the Creature Double Feature was Channel 56, longtime booth announcer Neil McNevin. His radio TV name was Tom Evans. So that was an interesting bit of trivia. Thanks for sharing that, Mr. Mummy. Appreciate
it. Hi, Mr. Mummy. I mean, Mr. Mummy, we chat back and forth.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So Dave and I and Gar, before we went on live, as we were prepping and just before you called in, we were talking about the carnivals and the sideshows that that really brought about the movie and the interest that people had in human oddities. I think I would hazard to guess that most of us here in the room, if you could call this a room, have seen the movie The Elephant Man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You mean
kind of a sad story, but quite honestly, my research shows that he was very well treated for most of his life. There were periods where not so much, and well paid for his appearances, as were many of the circus folk.
Yeah,
at that time they were considered celebrities, and I believe that the Elephant Man had customs. He had customs. Well, he had to because he had an odd shape, but he had custom suits made for him on Savile Row, which, if you know Britain, is that's where the rich folks go.
Yep.
It goes back to almost the time of P.T. Barnum. He was the first one that really kind of featured them and even actually showing a human side as well as, you know, because people would see them and turn the other way or cross the street or something. But you got a chance to get up close and even speak to them. It was the first time you actually got to see almost a human side of these oddities.
Speaking of which, it kind of makes me think of something. Can I give a shout out to somebody?
Sure, absolutely.
Another runner the street. Down at the Horror Hound, man. My buddies Slash Cooper and Zed Bundy. You mentioned freak.
Yes, absolutely.
My head.
Which is Dead Zed and Slash, right? Is that Dead Zed and Slash?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
yes, that's correct.
Slash.
They were so nice to really help promote your appearance here. Slash wrote it took the time out while he's over there having a blast at Horror Hound to give you a shout out as well that you were going to be here, and we're all appreciative of that here. The movie Freaks I think pays homage to a lot of the circus folks and used. Real human oddities. One of my favorites was portrayed as Pepper in American Horror Story, and a lot of people have asked, is that a real person? Well, not in American Horror Story. No, that was an actress made up. That was the character Schlitzy in one of the pinheads, as they used to call him, suffering from microcephalus. And Schlitzy was actually born Simon Metz in September 1901. There's some question if that was his true name, but that's not really important. He had a really interesting life, loved being shown in these various shows throughout his life. Schlitzy was billed as a female and wore a dress for comfort reasons more than anything else. Todd Browning certainly took great joy in casting him in Freaks. Schlitzy also appeared briefly in Island of Lost Souls, a favorite film of mine as well. Schlitzie was employed by every major name in the business, not only Ringling Brothers, Dave, but also the Clyde Beatty Circus, the Tom Mix Circus, West Coast Shows, Vantine and Lee Circus Sideshow, and the Dobrich International Circus. They all had Schlitzie in their shows at some point. When his caretaker or legal guardian passed, he was put into a home and became very, very depressed. However, a modern-day sword swallower and showman, Sam Cortez, gained guardianship of Schlitzie and returned him to the sideshows, and he was very happy to perform until his passing in 1971 at the age of 71. So that was kind of cool. So Schlitzie didn't have too bad of a life, and not too many microcephalous folk live a long time, but Schlitzie apparently did.
Yeah, everybody's going to hate me after this movie.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Well, you're just going to have to tune in and see.
There you go. Keep the mystery.
Now, Octavian actually has a soft spot for these characters, and he actually expresses that in tonight's episode. That, you know, he warns people, you know, not to, you know, make fun of his little friends or they'll catch up with you. You have to go to sleep eventually.
We do have a good radio show coming up shortly, but before we do, do you have like a favorite human oddity or a favorite? Let's go around the room with that. As a matter of fact, do you have one that intrigues you, or
who makes you make me sad?
Who is yours? Besides me, I mean.
Oh. Actually, Speaker's in the room, who is the character. But she, this isn't really an oddity, but some people would think he is because of what he could do. Bruce Lee. The guy was amazing. Like a modern day, oh, geez, I don't know. Who are you hanging here?
he was quite a guy. I mean, well loved in his field, and not a bad actor.
Well, no, but I mean the physical aspects of what he was able to do and how he conditioned himself to perform these feats. I mean, a real human being. This wasn't like all his movies didn't really do justice the way he could actually what he was actually like in real life. But that'd be a thing for another show.
Yeah. How about you, Gar? Who's your favorite human oddity, or do you have one?
Well, I'd have to keep it kind of close to home, you know, and we understand that this person has an amazing tolerance to alcohol, that it apparently lives close to a microwave oven, knows how to burp on command. I would say the king, only by, you know, personal description.
Okay.
Both kings, right?
Oh wait, did I forget?
King, how about,
there you go. All right.
How about you, King? Do you have a favorite human oddity or someone you're particularly intrigued by?
Not one particular person, but I think that I think that what impressed me most about the sideshows were contortionists. Because some of these people were, well, either they were extremely able athletes, or they simply had, a physical, well, physiognomy, I guess is the word, that allowed them to, well, for example, dislocate their shoulders or joints at will. And most, the people that were, the natural athletes, for example, I think a lot of them should have been football players. They should have been football players, except for the fact, because of the fact that they could run around their own end.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That joke's older than I am.
Yeah, don't repeat that one. Good grief.
Dave, do you have Any particular?
I don't know if I have a favorite oddity.
or something
really
that intrigues you.
I just think some of the physical aspects that some people have been able to do, even looking at the, you know, I myself have a bit of trouble with heights. The older I get, the more trouble I have with it. Watching the guy that was on was America's Got Talent that does this running around on these rotating bars that go way up towards the ceiling and all around. I guess people who are thrill seekers like that keep you on the edge of your seat, knowing that one wrong step actually can lead to a broken neck. Those are very intriguing people to me. They're willing to risk their neck and their life for just on a misstep or a slip. And sometimes, once in a blue moon, you hear of one of these people that make their misstep or their slip, but most of the times they are skilled
enough. Like the
flying
Walendas.
Yeah.
Like the flying Walendas. Yeah.
So I'm
personally intrigued by people that have severe, either through birth or through accident, you know, through happenstance of missing limbs or things like that. I had an employee who had severe birth defects, but was incredibly bright and an incredibly good worker. I don't want to get too much into that. That's kind of a real personal story, but also a personal hero of mine. But getting into people who are certainly more famous, people like Johnny Eck, the legless wonder, who could run around on his hands and do so many things without legs. In particular, I found, I believe he's known as Prince Albert. He was the armless and legless wonder who could roll a cigarette and light it and smoke it all by himself without any help. These are the people I think that intrigue me the most because they have that can-do attitude of I want as little help as possible. I want to be able to take whatever fate or nature's given me and do what I can with what I have. Those people I find the most intriguing, I think.
Oh,
do you ever notice that the best carpenters are missing digits?
Yeah.
Anyway, sidebar.
If they were missing it, they wouldn't have. They wouldn't be the best carpenters, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe. I always thought it was crazy that for the longest time in America on television, we heralded the disabled by enjoying the $6 million man and the bionic woman. They were missing limbs, you know. So, moving on.
America's favorite cyborg.
Yeah. Well,
they were not disabled. They were injured. Okay. In other words, they did not have disabilities that they were born with. They were injured and brought back by science.
No, I have injuries that I occurred in my life. I'm disabled. They were disabled.
No,
there's nothing wrong with being disabled.
No, there isn't. But those two characters were not disabled. They were injured and brought back. Okay, there is a difference. They were not born with those, with those problems.
Well, again, it just depends on how you define disability. There's some, again, who by birth, or some by happenstance. It's a delicate word to use because some people don't like the word disabled, challenged. I don't know what the way to say it best to offend the least, but everybody has different challenges, and sometimes it's through birth.
Right.
And I think maybe, and if I'm talking through my hat, someone correct me, but I think those people have an easier time of it because they've never known anything else. Whereas if you lose use of a limb or limbs later in life, that's a very difficult adaptation to make, I think.
No doubt about it. Time to get a new hat.
Yeah. Well, I know Gar has bad hands. So do I because I broke my hand. But there are a number of organizations that, and I hate to bring up golf, but the golf community has a project called Wounded Warriors, and they supply prosthetic devices for veterans who have, before they were injured, played golf, and they will outfit them with prosthetic devices, give them lessons on how to, to deal with this. There's a number of these organizations that do that, and my highest thanks to them for bringing these people back, at least as far back to where they were, so that they can start enjoying life despite their problems.
So, Frank, did you ever meet Gary Newton, who was Simon?
No. Oh, no. Like I said, I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Just something I remember, back in the day, listening to, and it just, like I said, background that lodges in your head kind of inspires you. I don't think I've ever actually, I have my first horror host that I met, horror show host, was last year, and it was Chuckles the Clown and Chuck the Clown, both from the Chuckles and Laugh Show, which is in Rhode Island. Please check it out. These guys are crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Chuck the Clown is a nutty guy. Frank, do you think before we start part one of our radio show, do you think you could drag Octavian over to the telephone to chat with us for just a little bit?
Oh, before we do the radio thing?
Do you think he'd want to come on afterwards?
I might be able to sum him up and he'll be here for the second half.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. Okay, that sounds fair enough. Let's, Dave, you want to tell everybody a little bit about our show tonight, the Flesh Peddler Suspense?
Can give you a little bit. Suspense, of course, 20-year run from 1942 to 62. Interesting thing about this, DeForest Kelly made an appearance on Suspense in this episode. He starred in it. Very interesting. He did a ton of television. He did movies and a ton of television. As far as I know, this may have been the only radio program he did, so I'm sure that he was doing this as a favor, just like trying out for the part of Bones. He did that kind of as a favor to Gene Roddenberry, who he'd worked with before. So I think this was a favor he did for him. And also interesting, Robert Reddick, who was an actor. They called him Bob Reddick, I believe, here in the story. It was the first time he wrote a script that was accepted on the radio and for Suspense. So you had two, newcomers to radio with Bob Reddick as a writer and as DeForest Kelly. And one of his very few, if any, other appearances he even made on radio on this episode of Suspense. Flesh Peddler takes place at a sideshow, carnival sideshow.
I'm a doctor, damn it, not a radio star.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
One of the greatest pleasures we find in this business of keeping you in suspense is the discovery of new talent and of unusual story twists. In what you're about to hear, we think we have combined both. The twist, you'll never guess it, no matter how familiar you are with that mystical literary device, the ventriloquist dummy. And the new talent, two young men, Bob Jurn, whose first radio play this is, and DeForest Kelly, a bright new luminary in the Hollywood firmament. Put them all together, and you have a strange half hour ahead. Listen. Listen then as DeForest Kelly stars in Flesh Peddler, which begins in exactly 1 minute.
It took mighty men to conquer mighty America, and the men set before themselves even mightier heroes, some real, some not. For instance, there was the legendary keelboatman, Mike Fink. I'll let Mike tell you about himself.
I'm a Salt River roarer. I'm a ring-tailed squealer. I'm a regular screamer from the old Mississippi. Whoop! I'm the very infant that refused his milk before its eyes was open and called out for a bottle of old rye. I love the women, and I'm chock full of fat. I'm half wild horse and half cockeyed alligator. I can hit like fourth-proof lightning, and every lick I make in the woods lets in an acre of sunshine. I can outrun, outjump, outshoot, outbrag, outdrink, and outfight any man from Pittsburgh to New Orleans and back again to St. Louis. Come on, you flatters, you bodgers, you milk-white mechanics, and see how tough I am to chaw. I ain't had a fight for 2 days, and I'm spiling for exercise. Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Folklore belongs to every nation's legendary past, and I guess we Americans have our share of some tall ones.
And now, Mr. DeForest Kelly in Flesh Peddler, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I'm an agent, a booking agent. Flesh peddlers, we are sometimes unkindly called. But I don't peddle flesh. I sell talent. Singers, musicians, nightclub acts. And I'm pretty good at it. I've got an instinct for talent. When I find a new act that's really got it, I go after it until it's mine. Only the ventriloquist team of Wilson and Oliver, I wish I'd never heard of them. Then I could sleep better nights. My wife and I were vacationing in the Catskills last summer, and the night before we were due back in New York, a carnival pulled into town. Now, I don't want to sound like a snob, but to me, the carnival is the lowest form of show business. I hate them. But my wife, Gloria, loves them. Since I love Gloria, we went to the carnival.
Pete, isn't it exciting?
It's just cheap noise.
Oh, I wish it had come to town sooner.
I wish it hadn't come till tomorrow.
Oh, come on, Pete. You might even find some new talent.
Here?
Why not?
Freaks are for sideshows, honey, not class spots.
You never can tell. A bearded lady might go great at the Coca.
I can tell.
Here, right here for the wonder of the Midway. Hey, the one and only Alexander Wilson and his lovable little dummy pal, Oliver. Hey, you've seen ventriloquists before, you say. Hey, but you've never seen anything to equal Wilson. The remarkable Wilson and Oliver. Hey, don't pass it by, friend.
Pete, let's go in.
Oh, ventriloquist, a dime a dozen.
Come on, I want to see him.
Honey, you've seen 100 just like him.
Well, maybe he's 1 in 100.
All right. We pushed through into the small tent and took our places on the hard, uncomfortable benches. Wilson was already seated on the platform, a typical childishly dressed dummy on his lap. He was a man in his 50s, I'd say, with the saddest face I've seen in 15 years of show business. When the people were in, he suddenly sprang the dummy to life.
Shut the door! Shut the door! All present accounted for, Mr. Wilson.
You're sure, Oliver?
Sure.
Well, then, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Oh, now, come, Oliver. You can do better than that.
I can?
Yes.
Well, you ought to know.
The routine was awful. Dull, time-worn. But for some reason, this Wilson fascinated me. He had a talent, all right. His handling of the dummy was amazingly accurate. As the act went on, I began to think that Wilson was even better than the barker had said he was, and he was going over with the house. Wilson had Oliver sing while he himself smoked a cigarette. After a few more gag routines and a couple of neat tricks, the performance was over, and I knew I had to sign the act. I parked Glory on the merry-go-round and then went looking for Wilson. I walked back of the Midway through the maze of painted trailers that were home to carny people. Suddenly, the door to one of them flew open, and a woman stepped out, a neatly trimmed beard covering her chin.
What do you want?
I'm looking for Alexander Wilson.
Wilson? Why?
I'm a talent agent from New York. I'd like to talk to him.
Agent?
Yes, Peter Harris, and you're...
Bernice, it's on the poster.
Oh, yes, of course, Bernice.
What do you want with Alexander Wilson?
I told you,
Who is it, Bernice?
Talent agent. Never mind. Go back in.
Agent?
I'm looking for Mr. Wilson.
Well, I'm Arthur. You caught my knife act. You know, I could pin a fly to a penny at 40 feet.
Don't mind him, flesh peddler. Go away. Go home. Agents are no good for us. Leave Wilson alone.
And you know, like I could put out a candle flame with a penknife at 30 feet, Agent Man.
Arthur?
And
go back in.
Maybe he could sell my act.
Go in.
All right. Wilson's in trailer 17, Agent Man. Hey, if you ever need a good
Shut
knife...
Shut up, Arthur. Shut up. Get in there. Forget what he said. Arthur is... Well, he isn't quite bright. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's so wrong about seeing Wilson?
There are plenty of acts like his. You don't need him.
Well, you've got my curiosity going now, Bernice.
I hadn't intended that. But forget your curiosity. And go home. Now.
Why?
Believe me, flesh peddler, you will thank me for this advice someday.
Which is trailer 17? I couldn't see why Bernice was so huffy. It was none of her business anyway. I roamed through the trailers with my cigarette lighter held high, looking for number 17. Finally, I found it. A small aluminum antique set apart from the rest, with a pre-war Chevy attached to it. The trailer was completely dark. Mr. Wilson.
What is it?
I'm Peter Harris. I'd like to talk to you.
What do you want?
Well, I'm an agent, Mr. Wilson. I'd like to see you.
Just a minute.
Yes?
I just caught your act, Mr. Wilson. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to do business with you.
Do business?
Here's my card. My office places acts on all four networks and all the principal nightclubs.
I'm afraid it's out of the question. I never play nightclubs.
But...
Yes, I never play nightclubs, Mr. Harris.
Well, could I come in for a moment, explain my setup? Maybe when you...
No, forgive me for appearing short, but I'm not interested in any offer you have to make.
To begin with, I can get you $200 a week.
Oh, excuse me.
$250?
No, I'm very tired, if you'll pardon me.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, but will you tell me why you want to stay with a two-bit freak show when you could make a small fortune working with me?
No. No, I'm afraid I can't tell you. Good night.
I suppose I should have forgotten all about it, but I'm not used to the brush off. Like I say, when I see an act I want, I go after it until I get it. And then there was something about Wilson's reluctance that wasn't somehow on the level. As I walked back toward the bright lights and the noise of the midway, a figure stepped from behind one of the darkened trailers.
So you saw him?
Oh, Bernice. Yes, I saw him.
And are you satisfied?
Not at all.
Just more curious.
Exactly.
Only fools push their noses into other people's business, flesh peddler.
Harris is the name.
And only fools get themselves and other people into trouble.
Trouble? All I wanted was to offer him a nice fat job, $250 a week, and he slammed the door in my face.
Alexander Wilson cannot leave this carnival.
Why?
You don't know, Mr. Harris, and you're not going to know.
Know what?
Stop asking foolish questions. Your curiosity can do a great deal of harm.
Bernice, where does the carnival go from here?
Really, Mr. Harris, you don't expect me to...
Look, I can ask any one of the barkers or setup men.
Ask them then.
All right, I will.
But remember, flesh peddler, if you follow us to Poughkeepsie, I'll...
Poughkeepsie?
Very well, now you know. But if you follow us and try to see Wilson again, you are a fool.
In just a moment, we continue with... Suspense. One of the more colorful lumberjacks of the Midwest was a lad named Whiskey Jack. Sort of fellow who could single-handed lick an entire logging crew or swim one of the Great Lakes with one hand tied behind his back. But as in all heroes' lives, there came a tender moment. As legend recalls, Whiskey Jack was not much for learning, certainly couldn't write his name. It was always the big X that he made on any slip of paper. Then one day he came in quiet-like, a little subdued, and when they gave him his pay envelope, he signed for it with great deliberation. The clerk looked, stopped, and called out, "Hey, Jack, why the two X's?"
Whiskey Jack replied,
"Why, son, I have just met me a lovely young lady in the next river town, and we was hitched, so I thought it only proper and fitting that a married man should change his name."
Folklore belongs to every nation's legendary past, and I guess we Americans have some good ones.
And now, we continue with the second act of Flesh Peddler, starring Mr. DeForest Kelly, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Gloria and I drove back to Manhattan the next morning, and 2 days later, I hopped a Poughkeepsie local out of Grand Central. The more I thought about Wilson, the more of a challenge he became. I wanted him for my list, but more than that, I wanted to find out what was behind Bernice's strange attitude. Now I wish I'd forgotten about the whole thing. In Poughkeepsie, I checked into a hotel, took a cab to the carnival grounds at the edge of town. It was late afternoon as I pulled up in front of the gaudy tents and booths, waiting for the evening crowds. I made my way through the cluttered midway, looking for Wilson's aluminum trailer and hoping I wouldn't run into Bernice.
Hello. Agent man. Hey, agent man.
Hello.
Hello.
Remember me, Arthur the knife thrower? I can pin a fly to a penny.
Yes, I remember you.
And you've come for me?
What's that?
You come all this way to get me for your agency?
Well, no, I'm afraid not.
Oh. Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, like, I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I don't think I could go with you anyway.
I see.
So I couldn't leave Bernice in the carnival. My sister says carny folk should stay with carny folk.
Your sister?
Bernice.
Oh. Arthur, why is Bernice so close-mouthed about Mr. Wilson? She acts as though she's afraid of him.
Us carny folks stick together, see? Like, we don't like other people sticking their noses into our business.
Bernice said that?
Yes.
Arthur, where is Mr. Wilson's trailer?
I don't know.
Oh, come now, Arthur.
Bernice says, you know...
I know. Bernice says too much.
I don't know anything, Agent Man. Well, I have to go practice my knife throwing now. I gotta practice every day, you know?
Well, it was clear Bernice had given Arthur his instructions, and no thanks to him, I finally found Wilson's trailer set off from the rest. Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson! The door to the trailer was unlocked, and it swung open at my knock. Wilson obviously wasn't there, but I didn't think he'd mind if I went in and waited. The inside of the trailer was dim and musty. I left the door open to let in what little sunlight the day had left and sat in the lone chair in front of the makeup table. I was just about to reach for a cigarette when I had the feeling that I wasn't alone. I turned slowly in the chair, and the back of my neck began to crawl. There on a shabby army cot was Wilson's dummy, propped up against the wall. The steady, unchanging expression of its face with the staring eyes and painted smile grinned back at me. It was weird and uncomfortable to be so close to this lifeless thing, unmoving, wooden, that seemed so real and alive on the platform in the tent. I tried to ignore it, but I couldn't. I looked away, but I could still feel it there, grinning at me in the early evening dimness. When I could stand it no longer, I got up and walked out of the trailer and bumped right into Bernice.
What did I tell you, flesh peddler?
Bernice, I...
What were you doing in there?
Waiting for Wilson.
What did I tell you?
Now look, Bernice, I don't like you or anyone else telling me what I can or can't do. I want to see Wilson again. I'm waiting here.
Come with me, please. I must talk to you privately in my trailer.
Ooh, and that's part one of The Flesh Peddler on Suspense. Dave, verify something for me if you happen to know it. This music is really, really good.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, this music is really, really good.
What the heck is that? All right, everybody, let Dale
go first.
Dale, go first.
No, this music is fantastic. Is this Bernard Herrmann, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
He did a lot of the music early on. I don't, you know, it may be, I just don't think that in 57, because he was busy working with Hitchcock in many movies at this time, that I just don't think that, it may be, and hopefully we'll find out that it was, but usually by 57, 58, there were a lot of them, these were sound patterns that were put together, kind of pre-recorded things, but they did a great job of it. Absolutely.
I just thought I recognized his style.
Yeah, that was a great job of editing, I thought, you know, to put the music in. I mean, even if it was pre-recorded, as Dave said, you know, I think it fit the, I thought it fit this very well. And I also really like the writing in this. I think that the writers deserve a lot of credit. And, wow, I mean, I've never heard this before, this particular episode. But this is fantastic.
And I misidentified him. It was Bob Juren, and I kind of looked him up for what I could. Couldn't find a whole lot. I found a total of 3 credits that he had, and they were all 3 for Suspense. First was Flesh Peddler, then about a month and a half later on Shadow on the Wall, and then almost 2 years later an episode called The Amateur. They're the only 3 writing credits I find for Robert Juren at all, or Bob Juren, either way.
Can I pipe in on this? From 1974 to 1982, Mr. Juren scripted 30 episodes for one of my favorites, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Blah, blah.
Very good. I was hoping I'd heard his name more than that.
Right.
But thank you. Thank you, Gar.
My pleasure.
Yes. Frank, have you heard a lot of these old-time radio shows?
Well, I can. I've floated to a few radio stations now and then in the past 300 years. Hello.
This stuff is new to me. I mean, a lot of it. I've heard a bit, but certainly not as much as Gar and Dave and King. And this has been a discovery for me too, listening to a lot of these shows. I think we lost.
I think some of the fun casting that they're having in here as well. Although I would be afraid to go into a trailer alone with Bernice. Dawes Butler is in there. Floyd the Barber on Andy Griffith.
I don't know, okay.
But he was in so many. He was a CBS radio stock player, and he was in Johnny Dollars and anything that was on the radio at that time. Pretty much Howard McNear. He was Doc on Gunsmoke as well, for most of their 12-year run. Howard McNear, yeah.
No kidding. The guy that was on Andy Griffith.
Yes.
Yes.
I'll be darned. I had no idea.
Yeah, and
he'll be darned.
That's
fortunately, rejoining us, Frank's, I think his phone took a dump there. Welcome back, Frank.
Hello. No, Frank, yeah, at the moment.
I just wanted to mention.
No.
I just wanted to mention another movie. Unfortunately, it's not public domain, but it's called Mondo Bellardo. And it stars Boris Karloff, and it concerns freaks. But it's a little bit different. If you look it up on Wikipedia, there's a better description of it. It was made in 1964, and I have this on disc, and it is truly weird, a very weird movie. But it does kind of bring forward, you know, the you know, what some of these, you know, oddities, I'm sorry, that's a bad word. They're not odd. They're people. Okay?
No, but they are oddities. I think you're correct in saying that.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to offend people. Okay, when you say odd, maybe I mean weird or something
like that.
Then hang up.
Sorry.
Too late. Octavia, so what is your feel for this radio show so far. Are you liking what you're hearing?
Am I with you? Are you with me?
I am with you.
Ah, cool. I did not thought we lost you on the Never Met Again.
No, I stay quiet when some of the other folks go crazy here.
You know, talking about the whenever I think of freaks in the movie and other sideshow people, I always love that episode of The X-Files, Humbug, which also used a lot of real circus people as well. Filmed right there in Florida. This was the very first X-Files that was strictly almost done as a comedy. And it just was so well done and such a fun episode. And treated the human oddities with a great deal of respect, I thought.
They did a few more. There was one called Small Potatoes where there's a shapeshifter who ends up looking exactly like Mulder. And he moves in on Gillian Anderson, I think her name was. And she doesn't even realize it until...
Hold on there, King. We've got someone else joining us. Welcome, caller.
This ain't no caller. This is Zed. What are you guys doing?
Hey, Zed. Hey,
Zed. What's
away from Gar?
Hey, where's the Octavian guy? Right here, Zeddy.
Hey, Octavian, it's your old pal, Slash. How you doing, old buddy?
Hey, Slash, how's it hanging in the Indiana woods?
Pretty good today, man. You were with us there in spirit today.
Awesome. Sorry, I just showed up here. I was running a little late. I was at a photo shoot.
Well, we just wanted to call and tell you that you sound great, kid, and that we can't wait to do something with you soon.
Oh, see you real soon.
I hope they miss.
Thanks for taking time to call us while you're having a great time over there at Horror Hound Weekend. Sorry I couldn't be there with you. I want to meet you guys in person as well. And I know Octavian is just loving the attention that you're bringing to him, and thankfully also here to Erie House. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. You guys
Thanks
have a good rest of your show.
Take care, what Slash.
Happened? Go ahead, Horror
What? What'd you say, bud?
Take care, man.
Take care.
Blah, blah. Yeah.
I hope when they had the photo shoot that they missed.
Well, actually, it didn't go so well.
Oh,
I had to tell
okay.
I don't do new. It's only see-through.
I guess Slash and Zed had to go, but that was cool of them to show up for you, Frank. We'll wrap up our episode of Suspense here, and hopefully we'll get to meet Octavian himself in the flesh wrap up.
Been talking to. Octavian's here, bud.
Oh, hi, Oc. How you doing?
I can tell you, I was running a little late. I was at a photo shoot. And then, you know, a little creeped out about the radio thing because, you know, first time on radio, but then again, does police scanners count?
Well, hopefully it's not your last. We appreciate you joining us here, and we're all looking forward to seeing your presentation of Freaks later on, about an hour from now. Good times for all. We'll be back right after in about 14 minutes. Here's part two of Suspense.
Sit down.
Well, what's on your mind, Bernice?
I didn't really think you'd follow us.
I told you I'm not easily discouraged.
Mr. Harris, I must warn you again to leave now without seeing Wilson.
I don't think you understand me. I'm used to getting what I go after.
Mr. Harris.
I intend to see Wilson to try to talk him into signing a contract. And you've said so far, all that you've said is go away. Can you give me a good reason for not seeing him? Okay, then why did you insist on dragging me in here?
Mr. Harris, can you assure me your interest in Wilson does not go beyond signing him as a client?
What do you mean?
Your interest in Wilson wouldn't by chance be in his past, his private life, and not in his professional talent.
I never heard of him until I caught his act 3 days ago.
Mr. Harris, I'd hoped I wouldn't have to tell you this. I didn't realize you were so stubborn, but...
Yes?
Well, Alexander Wilson lost his mind many years ago. That doesn't disturb you.
It might if I believed you, Bernice.
What?
I don't think Wilson's nuts. Apparently something's bothering him. Something big, maybe, but it's not insanity.
I suppose you know Wilson better than I do.
I didn't say that, but a man in my business meets every kind of person there is. The cheats, the phonies, the right guys, the bums.
So?
So you develop an instinct about people, and my instinct tells me Wilson is not insane. You'll have to try something better to scare me off.
Mr. Harris, Wilson thinks he's a murderer.
You are trying to scare me, aren't you?
If that's necessary to protect you and us, yes.
You think he might murder me, too?
I don't mean that. Actually, he never murdered anyone.
Look, Bernice, you don't make sense.
Don't you understand?
No.
I said Alexander Wilson thinks he is a murderer. He thinks he murdered a woman a long time ago. He's lived with this thought for years, nourished it until he really believes it. It's driven him out of his mind.
Bernice, do you expect me to believe a cockamamie story like that?
It's the truth. So don't you see? The only place for him is here, in the carnival, with his own kind. We understand
him. Well, hasn't anyone tried to help him, to make him realize
that... He is beyond that now. But with us, he's all right. Outsiders disturb him.
You haven't scared me off, Bernice.
You've got to stay away from him.
Why? If anything you've told me is true, it's only half the truth.
It's enough for you to know.
From you, maybe. Perhaps Wilson will tell me the rest.
I've warned you. I will not warn you again.
Paul, Bernice. Oh, hello again, Agent Man.
Hi, Arthur. How's your throwing arm?
Well,
Come in, Arthur. Mr. Harris is just leaving.
Yes. So long, Bernice.
Goodbye, Mr. Harris.
When the trailer door closed behind me, I guessed Bernice would start talking her fury out on Arthur. So I moved around to the small window in the back of the trailer to see if I could learn anything more.
I don't care. I don't even want you to say hello to him. Nothing. Understand?
Well, you know, just saying hello don't hurt, does it, Bernice?
I don't want you to open your mouth in front of that man, even to yawn. I had to lie to him to get him away from here. And I don't want you saying anything to bring him back.
All right, Bernice.
Just pray he goes back to his flesh peddling in New York on that first train.
Just as I thought, Bernice had lied to me. I was determined to get to the bottom of this double talk about Wilson more than ever. This had become more important to me than signing him to the usual 7-year management contract. When I got back to Wilson's trailer, there was a light inside.
Who's there?
It's Peter Harris again.
Who?
Peter Harris. I spoke to you a few days ago and...
What do you want?
I want to talk to you, Mr. Wilson.
Go away.
But I've come all the way from New York.
I must ask you to leave at once.
Look, Mr. Wilson, I'm not a detective. All I wanted when I first met you was to book you into the big time. But now there's something more. I think you need help. You need help badly.
No, you're mistaken.
Can I come in and talk to you?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Well, how about having a drink with me before the show? You look like you could use one.
Please, leave me alone.
Wilson. Wilson, don't you see what these people are doing to you? For some reason, you're a haunted man, and this carnival is the worst place in the world for you.
Leave me now. Leave me, please. These people are all the help I need. Leave me alone.
I'll be at the hotel overnight. If you change your mind, Wilson, call me. No, I was mad. If he wanted to rot there, go on with the carnival until it wasted away, it was no business of mine. I had a few drinks in my room at the hotel. Phoned Gloria that I'd be home the next day. Went to bed.
Yes?
Mr. Harris?
Wilson.
Can you meet me right away?
Right away? What time is it? Well, I...
Please, please. I must talk to you. Can you meet me?
Sure. Okay, where are you calling from?
An all-night drugstore.
Well, where is it?
Wait. Wait, no. Not here. Meet me at my trailer.
Okay.
And please, hurry.
It took me longer to wake the cab driver in front of the hotel than it did to get to the carnival grounds. I told the cab to wait and made my way through the darkened tents and trailers to number 17.
Come in.
What's the matter?
Mr. Harris, I've changed my mind. I want to leave with you tonight.
But tonight? Well, what's the...
Mr. Harris, you're the first person outside of the carnival I've talked to in more than 2 years. You're the first person I've had the courage to approach.
Go on.
I trust you, Mr. Harris. I can't see why, but I know you'll believe me and help me. I can't live like this anymore.
Sure, sure. Now, just take it
easy. No. Listen to me. 2 years ago, I killed a woman. Beautiful woman. I loved her more than I've ever loved anything or anyone in my life. When I tried to tell her how much I loved her, she laughed at me. I couldn't stand that laugh.
I understand, Wilson. But that isn't exactly justification.
She and her son, she was divorced, were working in this very carnival when I first saw her back in my hometown in Illinois.
Yes.
I fell in love. Oh, you can call me a rube, anything, but I was in love. I quit my job and followed the carnival for months. That's how much I loved her. And she laughed at me. So I shot her one night. And then I wanted to die, too. And when I saw her lying there at my feet, I wanted them to hang me, but they laughed at me.
They laughed at you?
The law, the police, they didn't believe I'd done anything. They wouldn't let me give myself up.
Where did you get this crazy idea, Wilson?
It isn't a crazy idea. It's the truth.
Look, lots of people get lots of funny ideas. They think about something they want to do. And they think about it so much that they really believe they've done it.
It was real from the beginning. I killed her. I did. But there was no evidence against me.
Listen, Wilson, you're not making sense.
You listen. He destroyed every bit of evidence so he could punish me himself. The police couldn't arrest or even suspect me.
Who destroyed what evidence, Wilson?
Her son, Oliver.
Oliver?
Yes, Mr. Harris. He's referring to me.
A trick? No. Wilson was too upset to be tricking me. I wheeled at the sound of his voice, and there in the doorway stood Wilson's dummy, Oliver, a small but capable pistol in his hand.
You are just as curious as Bernice said you were, Mr. Harris.
Oliver.
Bernice told me a lot about you. You had to know. And now you do.
No, you're not...
You shocked to learn I'm a midget. I must admit you gave me quite a start when you made yourself at home in the trailer this afternoon.
But that was...
That was me, Mr. Harris. Fortunately, I've already made up for the evening performance.
Mr. Harris hasn't done anything, Oliver. Let him go.
That depends on you. You see, Mr. Harris, Wilson is no ventriloquist. I guess that's obvious now.
It is.
Wilson murdered my mother, and I protected him from the police.
But why?
Why? So the law couldn't punish him. What satisfaction would there have been for me if they'd just hanged him? He'd been dead in an instant. Is that enough punishment for a man who has murdered your mother? No. He deserved more. And I've given it to him. I've punished Alexander Wilson for years.
Well, that's right, Mr. Harris. He's held this over my head ever since. Sitting on my lap at every performance, reminding me, night and day, Well, I've had as much as I can stand. So go ahead, Oliver. Shoot! Shoot!
Oliver, be sensible. If you pull that trigger, they're here.
They? Bernice and Arthur and everyone else? Bernice already knows, and now I don't care if the others do, too.
For heaven's sake, shoot me! Get it over with! Shoot me, you monster! Shoot me!
With horror frozen on his face, Wilson slid to the floor, dead. Then Oliver turned on me. Pupils of his eyes tiny with madness and his frail little body trembling.
I'm afraid this is one act you can't book, Mr. Harris.
Oliver.
You wanted to know everything.
Oliver, now wait.
I'm really sorry for your sake.
He asked me to let you go, but under the circumstances.
No.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hill.
It flashed by my head and landed quivering in Oliver's chest, a long, gleaming knife blade. And there was Arthur in the doorway of the trailer with Bernice, his face like stone, watching Oliver crumple the little distance to the floor. Slowly, the faces of the others appeared in the doorway, silent. The terror I was holding back was a physical pain. I walked to the door and stood looking down at the little body lying awkwardly like a dummy now. A lifeless thing, unmoving, staring, even with the traces of a painted smile grinning up at me.
This couldn't have gone on any longer, I suppose. The police will come now, and at last there'll be an end to it. Go home, flesh peddler, and forget all about us.
I went home, but I haven't forgotten, and I'm afraid I never will.
DeForest Kelly starred in William N. Robeson's production of Flesh Peddler, written by Robert Duren.
Suspense has been brought to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Shock ending. That one caught me by surprise. As King had mentioned earlier, a well-written show by Bob Duren or Robert Duren.
What year was this again?
1957.
Oh, 57. Okay. Because they
August
mentioned 4th. In the credits. I'm sorry. They mentioned in the credits the U.S. Radio and Television Service. I did not realize that the USRF had a television service also.
Yeah, that I'm sure was going on when you were in the service, right, Gar?
Oh, yeah, sure it was.
Back in World War One. But
What shows did they show? Can you tell me?
A lot of Howdy Doody.
Actually, I tried to get our show on there once, and they wanted all free rights to some of the top shows that were on. Individual productions weren't really, shall we say, requested.
Mm-hmm. So they're a business.
Okay, before we go ahead and talk more, now we've confirmed for sure that Octavian is here. There's something that we absolutely must address, as we do at the end of each radio show that we have here. Yes, kiddies, it's time again for Erie House Radio to present Gar's Moral of the Story.
Whether it's a big guy with a small gun or a small guy with a big gun, always bring a knife to a gunfight.
Thank you.
See how
wow.
I did that?
So how did you like that, Octavian?
Well, that was pretty cool, but I think Octavian, after that last joke, flew out the window again.
Okay.
After my last year, well, I apologize then, but.
No, joking. He's chimed in. My apologies. I had my own kind of personal emergency during the last bit, but it didn't involve a cat. Octavian tried to jump and give a hoot, but we're both here now. He'll hoot in when he feels it appropriate.
Okay,
yeah, fair enough.
That was pretty cool. You mentioned the music. I kind of sounded like Star Trek there for a little bit. Maybe it was because I was listening to Forest Kelly, but I don't know. Anybody else get that vibe?
You just can't take the DeForest Kelly out of the DeForest Kelly in that circumstance, I guess.
I mean,
but he
music,
did a great job. I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, that episode was well written, well acted. I mean, the sound was great. And seriously, Dave, what a show.
It reminds me of a film. I mentioned this in the chat. And I think it was called Devil Doll. It was from like the earlier mid-60s. It's not a real well-known film. Does anyone recall that, where it turns out the dummy's actually a diminutive person?
Yes.
Right. And there have been so many different movies and television programs. The dummy, like Cliff Robertson, was in The Twilight Zone. Or Jackie Cooper played a ventriloquist with, you know, they're just... It's a mishmash of ventriloquism and small people and just crazy.
Well,
I always was afraid of ventriloquist dummies.
I was just going to say, ever since the great Gabo, in about 1931 or so.
Yes,
ventriloquists have always been interesting, to the point that a ventriloquist made a career doing radio.
Oh, right, Charlie McCarthy, right.
Yeah,
so, about that movie, Magic, with Anthony Hopkins.
One of my favorite ventriloquist scary movies had a very funny line in it at the very end. Do you remember Anthony Hopkins in Magic?
Magic, yes.
Yeah. And at the end, when he gets killed, the dummy looks over at him and says, "I hope you die before I do." He goes, "I don't think that's very likely."
Yeah, for some reason that. Hello.
Yes.
Well, there's also a just to go back to somebody that we that you guys featured before, Boris Karloff. He did a film called Mondo Bellordo. It's from 1964, and it's
you
not
mentioned
exactly,
that, yeah.
It's not exactly Freaks, and it's not public domain, unfortunately. But it's a fascinating film. He is really great in it, even though, frankly, he kind of did it for the money, if you know what I mean. But it is kind of fascinating in the, the fact that he did look at, people that were out of the ordinary.
We'll have to check that out, King. With about maybe 6.5 minutes left to the show, want to let people know that we have some fun coming up for you next weekend. It's all about apes, gorillas, monkeys. We're not monkeying around.
You're jumping the gun again, Dale. That's in two weeks.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Why do I keep doing that?
It's the monkey in you. I don't know.
Back to the future.
You just want to monkey around, Dale. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But next week we are having a lot of fun.
We are having
a lot of fun next week, as on Friday it's all aboard the Ghost Train with a couple of radio programs, Mysterious Traveler and Radio Stage, and then on Saturday we are celebrating June Foray's 100th birthday. With another special suspense presentation where she plays all, there's four different female characters in there, and she plays all four different characters.
That is awesome. June Foray, as we know, was quite the quite the voice talent. Tonight, after the radio show, be at Erie House TV. You gotta listen and watch on your desktop or laptop. Unfortunately, there's no app for live stream. But at 8:30, our very special guest, who we'll hear from shortly, here in a few moments, Octavian Hollow from Haven Falls Horror Fix presents his treatment of Freaks, followed by some clown, I don't know, Dale Kay's Spook Show or something or other. I don't know. He's hosting some movie. The Human Monster, also known as The Dark Eyes of London. That's at 10. But I'm looking forward to seeing Octavian, who hopefully will speak now.
Drum roll.
Okay, I just... waiting for a little break. That's all. Feeling like to land on a busy branch, if you know what I mean. Oh. Make sure you join me tonight, all you wonderful owlets and wanders and creepo, because my special friends are going to be center stage on Todd Browning's Freaks, and I hope no one is offended on the treatment I give this feature, because it's all out of love. I promise you that. And you'll want to go and rewatch and revisit Freaks again, unfixed, after watching the movie. I guarantee it.
Can I offer a quick shout out to Fogsbane, Sim Sullivan, and Eva Lanny, and Monsieur Jacques? Comment allez-vous, monsieur?
Also, the Gruesome Graves, the Modern Hotel, Vincent Grimley, Sickle Psychotic. And a buddy of mine, Emily Johnson, who I helped get things started with this with the local cable access from Emily's Garden. Check her out. She has her own show. She does her own thing. And also check out Rise of Paranormal from Taps. My buddy Cody, I used to be a ghost hunter with him locally, and now he's doing the big time with Taps and Rise Up. These guys are doing a lot of stuff. We'll be doing a little crossover in the future.
Where can our listeners find out about these people?
Oh, just go online. I wish I had the information wrapped up in my head, but it's Rise Up Paranormal Taps, and they're doing a
Do you
lot
have any
of
links
awesome
on
stuff.
Your Facebook page?
I'll pin them on there. I'll make sure they appear. I'll check in with him and they, make sure I get the stuff that he wants from me, so you guys can get directly to it.
Is that
cool?
R-Y-K-E-R or R-I-K-E-R?
Are you on YouTube?
Boston. You're in Houston?
Yeah.
I thought you were in Boston.
YouTube.
YouTube. Oh, never mind.
YouTube.
Hearing aids. Never mind.
Octavian, are you on YouTube?
Yes, I am. YouTube and the Ouija board. But on YouTube, just search to Falls
Ouija board.
Haven Falls Horror Fix. And also, you can check out a few full features on Daily Motion. That's under Haven Falls.
And I understand that our friends over at the Vortex have shown the Haven Falls Horror Fix as well. Is that right?
Yes, they have shown Haxton, another one of my. That's probably my number three. More because it's personal, you know, being kind of back in the days of the coven and the family before the whole witch trial thing and all that fun stuff. But that's another one. That's shot at a silent movie. I have two silent movies I've done. I've done that in Nosferatu. I'm looking at Fox.
Excellent. Do you have any upcoming shows on the Vortex that people should look forward to?
I tell you the truth, I just landed in on all this like real, real briefly. I'm still trying to get my bearings and, you know, make sure I do things right and try to keep everybody happy, keep myself happy. But yes, I definitely plan on that. Probably Nosferatu. I'm thinking maybe.
Excellent. They promote Horror House and just like Erie House, they love bringing out newer folks like yourself that aren't as well known in the little Facebook circle of Horror House. But I don't know why I keep pushing this ape thing. I apologize, Dave. it's Ghost Train next week.
It's a genre.
Well,
it's an interesting genre. I want to keep alive.
Well, our best wishes to you, Octavian. All of us. Seriously.
Yep.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. I missed that last part.
I said our best wishes to you, Octavian. I hope your show is a huge success. And I'm sure we all do.
Okay,
don't we, guys?
Thanks. I didn't hear
absolutely.
Yeah, thanks very much. Everybody has been fantastic.
Yep, with about 5 seconds left, want to say thank you to our live listening audience, Annie, Foggs, Jacques, and guests 298, 396, and the other guests that have been in and out all night. Thanks so much. We'll see you on Friday at 7:30. Good luck in prison.
Thanks a lot, folks.
Good luck in prison. Don't go anywhere, Octavia.
Gotcha.
There's more.
So the live audience can no longer hear us, Octavian. This is what we call the afterbirth or post-show party or the cast party or whatever you want to call it. It's recorded,
it's
so folks who go back into the archive can hear us talking about them behind their back. But this is where we kind of hang out for a little bit. If you got to go, you got to go. But if you want to stick around for a few minutes, we'll chit-chat a bit before we run over to Erie House and watch your show.
Yeah, it's totally first-time adventure, this radio thing. Sorry I wasn't as chatty, but I had a great time. You guys are not. I'm more of a listener, and I've enjoyed listening to you guys. Thank you. Tap that. You're supposed to tap that, man. Don't blow that.
Can you tell King is a smoker?
That was one of King's other amazing oddity skills. He does that.
Well,
he's not on the toilet.
Yeah, tell me, Dale. How did you know I was a smoker?
Because you were hacking up a lung on my radio show. That's why.
Yeah.
That's
innocent. Okay. Never mind.
Oh, my God.
We can smell it on your breath.
I'd
but,
give him a hot foot, but
tobacco.
It would be anticlimactic.
Over the air?
Sure,
oh, really?
Why not?
But,
oh, Alex,
that's
Cooper.
Not good. Yeah, that ain't
Alex
good.
Cooper is paramount in me and inspiration with all this, definitely. I mean, I got this on his show. He's like a horror host show every time he performs. He tells a story. He does his crime. He's punished for it. Then he comes back reformed and white. Does, you know. So shout out to Alex Cooper, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a great entertainer.
He is.
A great person.
Definitely got the horror vibe.
Yeah. A couple of facts about Alex Cooper you may not have known. Number one, he's a born-again Christian. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? And number two, he loves golf. He appears
And number three, he has a
tail. You
could have
stopped at one.
No, seriously, he appears at so many charity tournaments now, even now, at his advanced age, and people flock to see him. You know, so he does a lot for charity. So you know, good for him.
Oh, that and his fellow musicians. He's just a great guy. He's the idol of what a rock star with that much history, almost 50 years, should be. You know, an inspiration.
I was fortunate enough to see him twice. Way back. I saw him with
the band
Black Sabbath, and I also saw his solo show where he had the guillotine. And seriously, these were, although under the influence of, shall we say, vegetable matter. These were some of the greatest shows I've ever seen. Black Sabbath opened for Alice Cooper. And then
can't imagine that. I mean, they're friends, they're buddies, him and Ozzy. I can't imagine being for that show. I mean, insane. What year?
The first show I think was in 19. The first show I saw was in 1967, and the second one was I think in 1970 or 71. And no, I mean they were magic. The only thing that I've seen that was better was seeing Jimi Hendrix twice. First with his original band, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And then with Buddy Miles and I forget the name of the band. But seeing both of them.
What year?
You know, two shows. The first one was, I don't remember the first one, but the second one was probably 1971, somewhere around there. Okay.
King, if you remember the 70s, you weren't really there.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, I have an idea for you, Mr. Halloween, for you. How about Negan?
How about what?
That? For Halloween this year.
No.
You should be Negan.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That picture, oh, yeah, because that picture.
So,
it's like that was Negan.
I am so thrilled for this particular Halloween this year. Number one, Eerie House came up from the ashes and is back. The season 8 of The Walking Dead will begin at the end of October, I think the 22nd. But equally as exciting is the release of season 2 of Stranger Things. Have you seen Stranger Things, Frank?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
isn't
definitely.
That a great show?
Oh, fantastic. You get the Spielberg vibes of the whole thing. Love it.
I felt it was as if Spielberg and John Carpenter and Stephen King all had sex together, and that's what came out. You know?
Okay, that was a left turn.
Well, no, you could see the influences of all of them. The music and some of the directions seemed kind of John Carpenter-ish, the storytelling.
I know, Dale,
yeah,
but
the
just the imagery, okay? You could have rephrased
that
one.
I didn't mean to put that in your head. I didn't mean to put that in your
head.
No,
that's thank
kinda...
you. Anyway, go ahead.
No, they're,
I know what you,
that,
I know what you were
what
going
are the
for.
Two
but...
brothers' names that, what are the two brothers' names that produce it? I can't remember.
Kowalski? No.
No, their last name begins with a D, and you could tell their influences from the 80s for that show. It's a really good, entertaining show. I'm hoping season 2 is just as good as season 1.
I like the fact that you do see, in many of the things that we see today, we do see the influences of the past, because that's where it comes from, which is so cool.
I don't think we had those influences during those times, you know? I mean, Spielberg and Carpenter and all them. I mean, if it was just like Deadwood, I mean, who would inspire? Well, no. People still go back to the original and the older ones and be inspired there.
Well, what I liked was when you sat there and you said, you know, my influence was my first horror movie host or one of the horror movie hosts I remember, and the Simon Sanctorum. Because I've seen those clips, and they're just really cool. I'm enthralled by the stuff from the past, because that's what we all in the now are building upon. And the Simon Sanctorum was a lot of fun, very very unique in the way he brought stuff in.
I do have to say,
But don't we all learn from that? I mean,
some do.
Yeah,
but
others
watch golf.
That's a familiar voice. Isn't that called Ghoul the Fool? Ghoul the Fool. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, but seriously, it's I mean, I think a lot of producers, I mean, if you go back to the, I've been reading a lot of things from the literally back in 1910 and 20. And if you look at these shows, all of this stuff is, talent that these people had. Even the Marx Brothers that, promoted, people said, wow, I love this. I'd love to write something like this. And they do. And then it goes on and on and on through generations. If you look at Rowan and Martin's Laughing, okay, I don't know if anybody remembers it or watched it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never heard of it. Do tell.
Yeah. Well, Dale. Okay, Dale, you've seen it, right?
Sure. Dave has too, right, Dave?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay.
You're kind of quiet over there, Dave.
Yeah, but if you look at the show.
A lot going on here tonight. A lot going on here tonight.
Yeah.
Dave's letting it happen.
Yeah. But if you look at the jokes, aren't they jokes stuff you've seen before? Aren't they?
Yeah, they're just told in a new way and from a new aspect. You know, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
It had kind of a hipster change to it. But, yeah, there was some Henny Youngman there. There was some Marx Brothers there. There was some of a lot of comics in their humor and in the show. This is why the horror hosts, like Octavian, like myself, like Gar, hosts like Dave, we want to present things and preserve some of these old films and tell our jokes and do our skits and things so people don't forget that vaudevillian type atmosphere.
Yeah.
Of presenting
this. But people like Dave and you, give them a new twist. You know? There's something.
Well, we
that,
are kind of twisted, yes.
Well, yeah.
But you know, it's kind of fair that you say throw vaudeville in there too, because Rowan and Martin, although it was a Broadway presentation, it was kind of a Broadway presentation of the Olsen and Johnson Hell's a Poppin', basically what became the crazy and lunacy of it is what became Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
Yeah.
On television.
Olsen and Johnson, I think. And
yes.
I have a bunch of their movies. There's a few of them that are public domain, and they are really funny.
They are off the wall. They are very much off the wall.
Oh, yeah. They're well worth looking at. Like I said, there's a few that are public domain. And if you look at some of the stars in their shows, people like Cass Daly, who had her own radio show. Actually, she had two of them. And she is really funny. And she also did her bit in World War II, entertaining the troops. She was one of those people, you know, like Bob Hope, who went anywhere. You know, anywhere that that they had a show, she would go. Because she believed, you know, in what she was doing.
Yep. Well, gang,
can we ever put a dollar figure on making people go anywhere?
I have no idea. Octavian, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to wrap things up here. So on behalf of myself, Dave, Gar, and King, we appreciate you making your first radio appearance right here on Erie House. That is special. That is really, really cool.
Even
come
more
back
special
and join us. Yeah. Come back and join us again, dude.
Come back and listen.
Yeah. I'll even sing.
Come back and join us, too.
No, you won't.
You can call us anytime. As you can see, there's plenty of room here.
Well, if they let me in, they'll let anybody in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we really need to change that doormat, which is welcome stuff.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I really do hope you enjoy the show.
Octavian Hollow, it was my pleasure to get the opportunity to share the stage with you on this radio program. Thanks, man.
Yep. Same here, buddy.
And blah, blah.
I hope you enjoy, because I know you guys
does that a lot. Yep.
Good night.
Well,
good night,
somebody
Gracie.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Everybody keep it safe.
Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash, whatever you are.
Thanks again, Dale.
Bye-bye.